I've had fun. Have you?
This isn't good. It's been a good time, good week.
I've been blessed. Like Brother Corey said last night, I've been encouraged. I've been revived. It's been great. This is what I've been needed. I've been needing for 2 years. Unfortunately, it costs so much to get over here every year. I sure would like to come every year. That sure would be great to do, to see each one of you every single year. It'd be a lot of fun, but we can't do that. We can do what we can do, and we can come every 2 years, something like that. So we praise the Lord that we can come. I praise God that He allowed us to come this time. I've really enjoyed that. I really appreciate everybody's hard work, from the ladies who cook lunch for us every morning for the morning meetings. It's been good. It's been great. I love the fellowship. I praise God for each and every one of you. You've been a blessing to me individually, and I thank God that you're here today. Most people don't consider being in church at all as something important, but I praise God that we see that it is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's a good place to be. So what I'd like to start with from 1 Corinthians, a verse that I've heard, I've been hearing once in a while, just mentioned, this week even. Some people have mentioned it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do want to thank you so much for this day, for your blessings, for your love and your watch care over us. We do pray that today that your word would bring effect. Lord, we pray that we see fruit from our laboring, Lord, and from your word. Lord, we praise you that your word is powerful and a two-edged sword, Lord, that cuts deep into the hearts of those who are needing it. Lord, we all need your word to encourage us, to revive us, to rebuke us, Lord, to make us turn to you. We praise you, Father, that we have your word to come to your knowledge. Lord, we praise you and pray that you bless today and all the rest of the speakers. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a very good verse. Just because of the fact that not everybody understands that some have not the knowledge of God. It's incredible how we react to some people who don't know. When I was in Poland, and some people didn't know about the stories of Moses. Some people didn't know the stories about and some other things, like, who's Moses? You know, what happened with Aaron? Who's Jesus? They just had no clue. Some people have not the knowledge of God. I have 3 points where I'd like to say today from 3 different perspectives. First of all, it's you. Do you have the knowledge of God? That's a very important question. How well do you know God? How close are you to Him? That's the first point. Second point is, do you know those around you? Around you, there are some people who don't know God. What are you doing for them? The third point is, there are people beyond you who don't know the Word of God. What are you doing for them? These are 3 points I'd like to mention today, and just to consider. Open your heart. Let the Word of God deal with you. Don't be a stiff-necked. Don't be hard-hearted. Just open your heart. Let the Word of God speak to you. I pray that it will be a blessing to you today. It's very important that we all understand that the knowledge of God is very important. We have to come to that knowledge. We have to understand who He is, what He is, and what He has done. Some people do not have that knowledge, as we see here. Some have not the knowledge of God. Do you know Him? I mean, really, do you know Him? Personally? I don't know, I don't mean do you know of Him. I don't mean have you heard something about? No, do you actually have an intimate relationship with God? If you do not, then you do not have the knowledge of God as you should. You do not have that. I want to say some things. First of all, do you know what He wants from you? Do you know? You see, when we know someone, we know what they expect. I know my wife. I know what she wants. I know that she likes her coffee in the morning, that I make it for her. I know that. So I do that. There's something I know. There's something she likes and some things I like that we both know of each other. That's just the way it happens. It's only if you get to know that person do you understand that understanding between each other. You don't have to speak about it. It's just common knowledge between us two. But do you know God? Do you know what God expects of you? Turn, if you would, to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Old Testament. See how fast some of you can find that. Hosea chapter 6. This is something that we all must understand. This verse right here, when I found it, it was a real blessing to me. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." What does God desire? God wants mercy, which is praise the Lord for that. If it wasn't for mercy, we wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for mercy, we would not even have salvation through Jesus Christ if it wasn't for Him, for His mercy. Praise the Lord for that. But He goes on and further and says, "And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." He says, "I want you to know me. Don't just sacrifice and just, you know, think, okay, this is what you expect. We'll just do what you want us to do. That's good. That's great. But do you know Him? Do you have an intimate relationship with God? And you actually get down and say, I know why my Father wants me to do this. I know why. How? Intimate. These things are very important for each and every one of us. To have the knowledge of God. If you don't have the knowledge of God and you just do things just because you're going through the motions, what good is that? Just because you can say amen, praise the Lord, and come and sing some hymns, doesn't mean that you have the knowledge of God. I'm sorry to say that. Some of us just come and we're just pew warmers. We just sit and just do what we, and just look nice and look pretty. Some. Not all. Is that the point? Is that why we come to church? Just to have a basic idea? Or are we coming to have the knowledge of God? Are we coming to learn something? He says, I want you to know me. Do you know me? Are you coming here just to do what you want to do? Or are you coming here to listen to me? I want you to know me. How well do you know God? He wants that you seek Him. Seek ye the Lord. How many times do we hear that? Seek the Lord while He is near. Have you sought Him lately? You know, when I'm thinking about getting to know someone, first of all, we have to seek that person out. Before you actually get to know someone, you have to find out who you want to know. Before I met my wife, I didn't know who I wanted to date, whatever. It was just, but then when I met this girl, I wanted to know her. I wanted to get closer. I sought time to spend time with her. Do you seek Him daily? God wants you to know Him. He wants you to seek Him. In John 17, turn if you would, Gospel of John. This goes along with that verse in Hosea. John 17. Verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This is good. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." Do you know the only true God, or you just heard of Him? Do you know Him? How deeply, how intimately, how perfectly do you know Him? Have you sought Him? To know Him, you must seek Him. To get to know Him, you must actually spend time in His Word. Spend time speaking to Him. Do you know Him? These are things that He wants. He desires. Seek ye the Lord while He is near. You know, we don't have much time. Time is running shorter and shorter for each and every one of us. We do not know when our time is coming and the Lord calls us. What are you going to do then? Right now, I'm actually speaking more to unbelievers. I want this first part to be a gospel message. I want you to know Him. I want you to understand that there is a God who wants to be known. It's not like the, you know, when the Apostle Paul was in Athens and he's going on altar to the unknown God. Sorry. This God, the true living God, wants to be known by you. He wants to be sought out. Seek ye the Lord. He says, I am near. I'm not far from them who seek me with their whole hearts. I am not far. That's great and powerful. God, Almighty God, wants you to know Him. And I hope that you understand that you need to know Him. Without Him, you're nothing. Without Him, you are zero. A big old goose egg. Nothing. Without Him. But with Him, you can be everything. You can have everything and possess eternal life through Him. Praise the Lord for that. That's what He wants. He wants us to know God. He wants us to fear Him. We heard from Sister Magda last night, the fear of the Lord. That is true. How often do we not fear the Lord? Before we were saved, I'm thinking right now of some shirts. I even have a shirt actually that says no fear. Yeah, no fear. Yeah, I just go out and I just, you know, I don't care about anything. Oh, that's real smart. No fear? There are some things we should fear. God is for instance. God should be feared by us. Powerful God who sees, looks down upon in His wrath upon us. Now that's scary. He wants us to fear Him. He wants us to repent to Him. He wants us to repent to Him. There's the things He wants us to do. But unless you know Him, you don't know these things. Unless you actually get down in His Word and start seeing, what does God demand of me? What do I need to do to be closer to Him? These are things that you must do to have an intimate relationship with God. Now, these also things also pertain and also can be applied to those who are saved. We must still seek Him daily. We must still repent to Him daily. We must still understand that we have not arrived yet to the part we should be. As long as we live, we should continually want to know God. We should continually want to grow and have the knowledge of God and say, you know what? I know Him better than yesterday. I know what He wants from me today. Yesterday I was a little bit confused, but today I'm sure. And tomorrow I'll learn something new. That's what we should be. That's the way we should be acting. Instead we say, well, you know, I got enough to get by. I can just coast on through and I'll survive. Survival is not the idea here. We're not here just to survive. We're here to grow, to increase, to multiply. How can you multiply by surviving? It's impossible. You must seek Him, repent to Him. You must know Him. Know what He demands. Know what He wants. And that's the knowledge of God. And in this Word is where you find every single thing about it. And it's incredible. It's incredible. You think, you know, I praise the Lord that Brother Billy was speaking, saying, you know, that us young missionaries, we've grown. But you know what? It would be impossible for us to grow on our own accord. It's impossible, and it's not our praise. Praise the Lord for that. It's not because, oh, we're so good and we're on the mission field. You can grow right where you're at. Every one of us can say, you know what? 2 years ago, I was a wishy-washy Christian. Now I'm on fire. Now I have a desire. Now I know which way God wants me to go. That should be our outlook on life now. When we say, you know what? I know God. I know what He wants. I know what He demands. I know what I have to do. Too often we just coast on through. Okay, so now you know the one true God. And you're saved. And you're, hallelujah, you have eternal life. Praise the Lord for that. That is a marvelous gift that you have received. Praise the Lord. And I praise God that He saved your soul and mine. It is just a marvelous thing why God would choose us. Okay, but you have now that you have that knowledge. And when we were singing, there's one song in the songbook that has actually caught my attention this week that I actually never thought about it. It's that That song number two, Away in the Heathen Darkness. You know that song? Oh, you know the one, the way to God. Now you know the way to God. Now what are you going to do? You know. Now what are you going to do? Okay, so you know. Great. Praise the Lord. How well do you know Him? How well? Enough to say, I know Him better? Do you desire to know Him better? That should be a true desire. To know Him better. Amen. When I think about knowing someone better, I think about spending time with them. Look, if you would, in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 8. A very common verse, a very popular verse, but a verse that we too often forget. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That is where I want to stop at. To draw nigh to someone, you must actually spend time. Yeah. To get closer with someone, you just can't go to the movies and, you know, just watch a 2.5-hour movie and just, you know, that's not how you draw closer to someone. My wife says, I want to go on a date. I said, you know, she says, and I don't want to go to a movie. Because that's not the whole point. Because we won't even be looking at each other. We're in a dark room looking at a big screen. Says, that's not a date. Now, you can do that with your friends. Go ahead, you know, do it with all your guy friends. But, you know, I want to spend time with you. I want to look into your face. I want to see what you're saying. I want to look into your eyes.
That's how we spend time. That's how we get to know someone. That's just between us humans. How much more God wants to spend time with us? Look, sit down. Let's just discuss. Let's understand. Let's come to an understanding. You and me. God wants to know you. He wants you to know Him. If the Bible says clearly, if you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Isn't that the purpose? That as we grow older in Christianity, we start getting closer and closer to God. As we get older and we say, you know, more mature in our life, we say, you know what? I'm closer to Him than I ever been before. If after 25 years of marriage, you are still, you know, being ridiculous, childish with each other, and, you know, you don't know what the other person wants and desires, wait a second. Something's wrong with this picture. You should know the other person intimately and know everything, just about everything about that person. That should be the way. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That is the marvelous gospel. Marvelous thing. Glorious. Just that we forget that. And we say, I'd rather draw nigh to money. Draw nigh to my job. Draw nigh to everything else that's superficial and carnal. What am I going to present to God after I die? Everything is burned. I have nothing left. No relationship with God. I have no knowledge of Him. I may be saved, but that's not the whole point. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh. It's a daily sacrifice that you must do to draw nigh. You know, it's not easy to go on a date with your wife every day. We don't do that every day. We do it when we know we see the need, when we want to get, we have time. We have jobs. We have responsibilities at home. But you know what? We should take the time. And I'm telling honestly for us men, take the time to spend time with your wife. Date your wife, even though you're 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, I don't care how long. It's nice once in a while to just take your wife out and say, hey, this is our time. But when's the last time you had time with God? Just you and Him. You just sat down, no interruptions, no music, no, you know, I've always dreamed about having a time where I could go out into a forest or into a night, you can't do that in Poland too often, and forests are pretty cold, so you're either bundled up, you know, I'm thinking about these old time guys who went out and just spent hours out in the open air just praying and praising the Lord and reading His Word. Wow. You don't even need that. You have a home. Lock yourself in the house where you have a key and just spend time with God. Have a relationship with God. Get to know Him.
Seek fellowship with that person. Have you sought fellowship? Have you tried to commune with God and say, you know what, I want to talk with you today. I know you have something important for you to tell me. I'm listening. And that's the next part. Listening. Hear the word of the Lord. Not only do we seek we want to spend time with someone, we seek them, we want to have fellowship, but we listen. What's the date if you're only talking? If you're the only one talking and, you know, you get no feedback from another person. That's not, you know, you're having a monologue. God is not interested in monologues. He wants a dialogue. He wants to say, I want to talk with you. I want to hear you talk to me. Intimate relationship. Get to know God. Listen. And I said this before, you know, that's one of the big problems those guys have about listening. You know, we don't listen to our wives. We just, you know, you never listen to me, huh? What did you say? That's basically the point. We don't listen to God. We hear, but it goes in one ear after the other. We forget. Now I want to go on to the second point. I know I'm going on and on. There are people around you that don't know the Lord. Not until you actually get to know the Lord and you actually understand that that's your responsibility for you to grow, then it goes on to someone else. Now how are you going to teach someone else? There are other people around you who are not saved, who don't know God, don't know that knowledge, don't know what He requires, and you know it. We have a responsibility to tell them. God demands that we tell them. Here we have a very, very good verse in 1 Thessalonians. I think it's, you know, a very clutch verse for missions, for preachers, for every single person who is saved. This is your verse. If you don't know it, underline it, mark it, I don't know, write it on your forehead, I don't care what you do. Do something for you to remember this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing to men, but God, which trieth our hearts. There you go. There you go. For we, as we were allowed of God, God allowed us to take His message and say, you are my messenger. Go and speak. He entrusted us with something. When I think of trust, I think someone really understands and trust us with something great. We're entrusted with something magnificent. The gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And God said, I want you to go and tell them. And Paul said, even so we speak. But how often, he said, even so I say nothing. Even so I do nothing. Even so I go nowhere. That's usually what our understanding. We have the gospel, great, I have a ticket to heaven. My way is paved and I'm going. See you there. I'm just going to shut up and not say anything. If you're here, saved, born again, Bible believer who understands the God's desire, God demands of you to speak, to tell others. There are so many people around you who are dying, going to hell, and we say nothing. I remember when I was working at Bill Miller's for those 10 months when I lived here in San Antonio. How many of them? I had no opportunity. Of course, I also had really no chance in the workplace. I tried to, as Brother Trini said the other day, try to limit how much time I spent actually in the workplace to give the gospel. But on my breaks, I tried to. And there were so many in there who used the name of God and just they used the name of God in vain and not even knowing about it. It's incredible in Poland how often people use the name of God in vain. Even here, and you bring it to attention. Really? I say that often? They don't even realize it. But you have the God has required you, entrusted you with gospel. And even so we speak. Speak! Tell them! Go out! Get the gospel out! Be innocent in God's eyes! Do what God requires of you! What they say, how they accept it, is not your problem anymore. God will deal with them! But you do what He has required of you. Take care of yourself. Leave the rest to God. I heard one time someone said, do your best. God will do the rest. There you go. You do your best, do what God requires of you, and God will do the rest. Leave it in His hands. That's where it belongs. But God wants you to do something. We have a responsibility. We even have a responsibility to leave those around us, especially our family. If you're a father, or if you're a husband, your children and your wife, you have a responsibility to lead them. That they grow. That they don't become static in one place. You have a responsibility as a father and as a husband, I'm speaking to you men, to lead your families to where they grow. They have the desire to draw nigh to God. If you start teaching them and they start drawing nigh to God and you start drawing nigh to God, everybody just starts getting closer. Isn't that the whole point of life, of Christianity, to get closer to God? You have that responsibility. We drop the ball when we say, you know, I'll let my son decide when he, or my children decide in their own precious time. Look, your children should be so precious to you that at the age of 6 months old, you're already singing songs and teaching them the Word of God. Some people you've heard Caleb sing some of his songs, and I praise God. He has got a good voice. He's got a good ear. He's got a good, he knows that he sings hymns. Not just Jesus Loves Me stuff. He actually knows, Be Thou My Vision, and you know, It Is Well With My Soul, these kind of songs. He didn't just pick that up out of, you know, from the radio. We sat down and we sang songs to him. We have, as parents, the responsibility to train our children. That they come to the knowledge of God. That they do not depart from this truth. That is our responsibility. Do not drop that ball. Do not say, well, I'll let them make their own choice when they in their due time. Look, don't let their friends get a hold of them first. Because they won't teach them the right way. You get to them. You tell them, look, Jesus Christ loves you. Amen. This morning, I've been trying to teach my son not to be scared of the dark. I say, son, God is with you. Don't worry. He can take care of you. And then he goes to the bathroom by himself. And he says, you know, turn the light on, Dad. I can't see. I said, Caleb, it's okay. You can see. There's enough light from the hallway. You can see. God is with you. Well, this morning, he said, Dad, I need to go to the restroom. I said, okay. So I went in there and do it. Why did you turn the light on? But this time, he said, no, Dad, turn it off. I said, why? His son is with me. It's okay. God is with me, Dad. Said, please turn the light off. I'm like, okay, fine. So I turned the light off, and he did his duty. But you know what? It's just part of life. If you just actually let them start understanding that God is important. Right. Not you. It's not what, you know, it's God. God is with them. God is taking care of them. It's not, you know, their own, it's not karma. It's not luck. It's God. Right. And God will take care of you. Stay until you die. And that is important for each and every one of us parents to teach our children. If you have your wife, and this also is a big problem I saw in my life at the beginning of my ministry. I neglected my wife. I just thought that, you know, we both have responsibility to read our, have our devotions and draw nigh to God. You know, in our own separate ways. No. It was my responsibility to say, okay, honey, we're going to have devotions. Come. Leave the dishes. Forget breakfast. We're having devotions right now. And then you start actually, you have any questions at the end of the of devotions. Too many times you say, okay, that's it. Let's pray. Let's go. No, spend time. Teach. You're the head of the home. You're supposed to teach. You're supposed to lead. As a man, lead. I read a very good book a few months ago called Point Man. And those of you, I was never in the Army. Jason and Donnie know more about this. But when you're out in combat, and there's a point man. Someone is always looking out at the very front for ambushes. As a leader of our homes, we're out to look for ambushes. Make sure that there's nobody trying to destroy our team members. Those behind us are depending on us. They need us just to be strong to say, okay, I know what's out there. I know where it could come from. And I'm prepared. Mm-hmm. Here are some things that came to my mind. What are you doing for God for those around you? There are so many out around you. Friends, family, neighbors. Do something. Tell them. Fear not. How many times? Don't be scared of them. Don't fear them. Fear God. Fear, if I don't tell them, I will be punished. It would be my responsibility. I will have dropped the ball if I did not tell them. Don't let that happen. There are people beyond you. As you know, I am a missionary to Poland. And I decided to go into the regions beyond. I decided to go. God called me to go back to Poland, where I lived for 11 years with my parents on the mission field. I decided that is my place. Now, your place may not be in another country, but there is another world beyond you. There is another world. I fear that too many Americans, as I speak to Polish people, they say they don't see beyond their own front yard. And that's a shame. They say, I watched a clip on YouTube about stupid Americans and geography. There's a guy who had no idea what North Korea was. He put a flag on Australia. He had no idea what the world looked like. That is a shame. That the regions beyond are clueless to us. We have no idea that there are people in other worlds who are dying. There's a huge world outside of our own front yard. Huge world. And we have responsibility to get the gospel out. If that's your neighbor, that's your world. If that's your work, that's your world. If that's south side, north side, I don't care what part of the country. That's your world. But you're called to get the gospel out to somebody. You're not called to sit on the sofa and watch TV. I'm sorry for that. Those of you who like that, that is not your calling. You may think, oh, I was called to watch, I don't know what you watch. I don't care. CSI all day long. Go for it. That is not your calling. You're here saved. God called you to preach. God called you to tell someone, to be a blessing, to show through your testimony what God has called you to do. That is your responsibility. There are other people beyond you. Do you have a burden for them? You should. There should be a strong burden for those who die. For those who are going to hell, we should, like as Brother Corey was saying, we should cry, we should weep for them. We should say, what can I do more? I'm not doing enough. I need to go out and tell them. I need to. You know what? When you come home and you have a sense of satisfaction that you actually told, I don't care, even if one person, you say, Lord, I met one person, and I doubt we only meet one person during the day. But even if we do, we get that gospel out to that one person. We do not come home unless that person knows. You know what? I've seen that guy work 8 hours a day. I've seen how he acts. Now I know why. Wow. He has the gospel. He has the truth. I want to know more about that. The knowledge of God. That is what we should be giving people each and every day. That we bring people to the knowledge of God. That they come. And if you do not do that, as our text says, it is your shame. You have a shame if you do not. You are shameful to not get the gospel out. It is a shame thing for a Christian to be silent, to say nothing. When he knows that this person has cancer and may die, or he knows that this person, he may not see this person tomorrow. We know these things. We do not know when that time will come, but we know that that time may come sooner than later. And we need to have our conscience clean and say, Lord, I did what you required and I leave it up to you. As Brother John was saying about his father when he called. Praise the Lord that God gave him one last chance. But what would have happened? What would have happened if Brother John just said, you know what, Dad, I'll talk to you when I get there tomorrow. I have something very important to say. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye. The chance is gone. No more. He saw his father, not again, alive. That's a sad thing. But how many times do you go home not telling someone, saying, oh, I'll see them tomorrow. And then it comes out that that person had a wreck that night. And you didn't see them tomorrow. It is a shame. It is your shame that you do not get the gospel out. You know, this country is very blessed. This is a very blessed country. You just look to us on TV and you see preachers. Men and women. Woo, man. We got preachers all over the place. That's a different subject. But you have the gospel being preached. The word of the Lord is open. There is a sense of, you know, Christianity and thinking, okay, we need to study the Bible. And okay, if we go into the different NIVs, whatever, that's not the big deal. It is a big deal, but excuse me, that's not my point. My point is, there is a Word of God, there is a sense of the Word being opened. And people studying it. In Poland, there is not that. You turn on the TV and you see Catholic masses. Lutheran, Catholic, and it's just people, you know, they're not studying the Bible. There is the region beyond you that they have not the knowledge of God. They have no idea. They don't even have a Bible at home. Can you believe that? There are people I've met that say, I think I have a Bible. No, I don't have a Bible. I gave it to my mom 15 years ago. Well, sorry. They don't have a Bible. And you, how many do you have at home? Even if you just give it, you probably have 5 or 6 or 10 laying around somewhere. If you have family members, each one of you have a Bible. You know, there is a world outside of San Antonio that has not the knowledge of God. And as Brother Corey said, we need you. We need more. Think about it. If we had 4 or 5 pairs of missionaries in 4 or 5 countries, and 4 or 5 cities in Poland, 5 cities in Poland as one shot. Man, what a blessing. That would be great. You know, we're not getting just two cities at a time. We're getting 5. That would be great if we could get the gospel out to more people in less time. You know, it takes a long time to start a church in Poland, we've come to find out. It takes a long time. And even then, it's on rocky ground. Even then, it's like 15 years, and I sure hope this thing's gonna float. And you hope this doesn't go under. Then we're like just starting in square one. It is difficult. It is not Mexico. I pray God that it turns into a Mexican country just because of the way the people react to the gospel. I hear these stories about, you know, 10, 15 people getting saved and getting baptized. I'm like, whew, we got 10, 15 in 10, 15 years. It's not easy. But the fact is, if you're hoeing a difficult ground or an easy ground, that's not the point. You're supposed to be hoeing. You're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be working. Getting the seed out, planted in the hearts where God wants them to be planted. If you see results, that's not the big deal. The big deal is to do what God requires of you. The big deal is for you to preach. To say, Lord, I did my duty. I ran my course. I did what I was supposed to do. Now the rest is in your hands. Do something for the Lord. Get the gospel out that you and people beyond you and people around you may have that knowledge and you come and you grow. First of all, consider yourself. Are you growing? If you're not, then start growing. Once you start growing, once you become, get that knowledge, tell others. Once you tell others, think about others around and beyond you. There's so many people who are dying in sin each and every day. Get the gospel out. Amen? Amen.